Please do take a seat. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. They are tired. Tired of serving the world. Tired of worship. Tired of Christian education. Tired of being peculiar and whispered about in society. Tired of the spiritual struggle. Tired of trying to keep their prayer life going. Tired even of Jesus. Tired of walking the walk. Many of them are considering taking a walk, leaving the community, and falling away from faith. I wonder if any of that resonates with where you are today. This is what the theologian Thomas Long wrote in his commentary on the book of Hebrews. We don't know who Hebrews was written to. We don't really know who wrote it. Probably wasn't Paul. We don't know where it was written. But what we do know is that the recipients were struggling. They were in a really tough place. Life was hard. They were being persecuted. Sometimes I think that we mistakenly believe we are living faithfully when we are actually living fearfully. And that makes us tired because we're living in our own strength. I wonder if when we heard the Bible being read today, just now, any of you thought, well, my faith isn't really like that of Abraham. I don't think I could get up and move to a different country like Dan is if God called me. I don't think I could do that if there wasn't a plan. Or maybe you listened to the passage from Luke and thought, there's no way I could sell my possessions and give it all to the poor. I'm just not that holy enough. That is basically what I thought when I read these passages again this week when I was preparing to speak today. In both passages, from Hebrews and from Luke today, we are called to live by faith, not by fear. Do not be afraid, says Jesus in the opening passage from Luke. And why not? Because God is pleased to give you his kingdom. God is pleased to give us his kingdom. God, the creator of the universe, initiates this. And our faith is a response, a hope-filled response to that promise. That response of faith is accompanied in both Hebrews and in Luke by works. Abraham was called to follow God's leading away from his hometown with no reward of a stable home or land. And in Luke, Jesus talked to the disciples about selling their possessions, giving to the poor, being prepared for the bridegroom to return. This fear not phrase, it's used in the Bible as an opener several times, and it frames all that follows it. It's really useful to think of that command as a way to frame how we live in faith. So living faithfully, not fearfully, means that we are to wait in preparation, like the servants who waited for the bridegroom in the Luke passage. But these waiting servants, they weren't just hanging around doing nothing. They were dressed ready, keeping their lamps burning. If we are to be prepared and to live faithfully as a response to God's grace, we are not just watching the hours tick by on the clock, waiting for the alarm to go and for Jesus to return. We are aware of the possibilities each hour to be guided by the Holy Spirit in seeing the kingdom of God here now. Staying alert, waiting for the Master to return. It's not just about staying focused as we wait. Staying alert and staying focused is the way we begin to realize that God is with us now. As I drove here this morning on Radio 4's Sunday program, the interviewer, whose name I don't know, was interviewing Sister Helen Prejean, an American Catholic nun, I think in New Orleans. And at the end of the interview, she said to her, "What are you grateful for?" And Sister Helen replied, "Being awake." And as a Catholic nun in her 80s, I thought, oh, she's just grateful that she's still alive. But then she went on to say, no. I could easily have lived in a bubble. But I'm so grateful that I am awake to the gospel. I'm awake to the social justice and the fighting of racism that I have dedicated my life to. She is awake and alert because of her faith in Jesus Christ. And she was really wonderful to listen to. So do put it on iPlayer if you get the chance. This faith we see in Hebrews and in Luke is not about justification, but about vocation. The promises of God are not about just a new place which we will enter at some point in the future, but about a new way of being for all of creation. It is part of God's ongoing work of creating. There wasn't just a beginning of the world and now we're stuck in the middle, just waiting for a bit until Jesus comes back. God was and is to come. Jesus telling us not to be afraid should reassure us. Not in a way that makes us lazy and inattentive, but in a way that makes us confident of our place in the kingdom of God and therefore able to serve it well. When Sam and I got married, he promised that he would stay married to me for the rest of my life or his. And this reassurance doesn't mean I can take advantage of the benefits of being married to him, of which there are many, obviously, and not make any effort to love him in return. I've got to do something. But I don't do that out of fear. I do that out of love. I do that out of a response. It's vocation, not justification. God is calling my name, and he is calling your name. We are free to prepare for his return by seeking his kingdom here. Living faithfully, not fearfully, means ordering our lives and our world around the values of his kingdom, and that requires a significant shift from what is considered a normal way of living today in our culture. People definitely have fridge magnets that say, "For where your heart is, for where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." But I think fewer people have one for verse 34, "Sell your possessions and give it to the poor." And yet I think they're really about the same thing. Yesterday in the church calendar, it was the feast day of St. Lawrence, who I knew nothing about till this week. In 258, the Roman Emperor Valerian ordered the execution of the then Pope and other clergy. It was a really difficult time. Lawrence was a deacon in the church, and he was charged with keeping the church's treasury. The emperor ordered him to deliver the church's treasure to the emperor. So he asked for 3 days to complete this task, which he was granted. And when he spent these 3 days giving away as much money and as much of the church's wealth as he could to the poor. And after the 3 days were up, he returned to the emperor with the poor and the blind and the lame and the widowed. And he said, "I have brought you the treasure of our church. And the church is rich, incomparably rich." For this, he was martyred. The church's treasure is not in monetary wealth, but in the kingdom of God, the God who loves and saves, bringing redemption to all his people and to all creation. And so for us, where is our treasure? What is our treasure? When preparing for this today, I read an article that challenged me on what my treasure really was, because its suggestion was that we know what our treasure is by what we can give a good account of. What we can easily talk about. That does include faith in Jesus Christ and the hope of the kingdom of God. Can we always talk easily about that? I don't think this particular passage in Luke is telling us to sell all our possessions just to show how much we trust in God. It's not just an obedience for no reason. It's telling us to help the poor. And to do that by sacrificing and sharing the great riches we may have. That doesn't have to be a financial transaction. It might be, but it has to be a heartfelt one. "Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out," says verse 33. But even the richest among us will eventually lose all of our financial wealth. If we shift our focus away from money and onto the God whose endless love is for all people and all creation, we realize that as people who have received his grace, we have countless possibilities to give to the poor. This isn't a get out from generous financial giving, and that's probably something most of us feel quite difficult, me included. But it's not just about endlessly shifting material wealth around the world. It's about providing well for the material needs of all people, and that's something we need to do as individuals, communities, and governments. But it's also about offering them the treasure of the kingdom. If we have received God's grace, we can give out God's grace freely from our treasure store. If we are to seek God's kingdom here on earth, we are to be building up others in the treasure we have found in Jesus Christ. Living faithfully, not fearfully, means living in the freedom of what God has already done and has already promised. What happens when the bridegroom returns and finds his servants watching, dressed, ready for service? He turns the tables and he waits on them. Verse 37 says that he will have them recline at the table. He has returned to serve them. Friedrich Buchner, an American theologian, wrote, "Faith is the word that describes the direction our feet start moving in when we find that we are loved." Sometimes I think we read the first bit of this passage and then forget about this bit, about the master serving his servants. Yes, we need to be prepared, walking the path of faith which seeks God's kingdom. Yes, we need to give to the poor. Yes, we need to seek to eradicate poverty and injustice. But we also need to do that in the reassurance of God's grace. Do not be afraid. God is pleased to give you his kingdom. His promises are true and his kingdom is coming. When our faith reminds us constantly that we are loved by God, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, then we have an inherent value and worth that we can recognize. And then we can begin to see that in others, in unexpected places. And when we see people as God sees them, then we really start kingdom living properly. We don't have to fear that our strivings will not produce the correct outcome. The coming of God's kingdom is thankfully not dependent on our preparation and our good works. I read a few months ago about how priests should be praying that they can have a faithful ministry, not a fruitful one. As someone training for ordination, it's important to be reminded that actually I am primarily called to be faithful. God provides the fruit if and when I follow his calling in the light of his grace. We need to be faithful step by step, focusing on what God has done, not on what we ought to do. And lastly, living faithfully, not fearfully, means that our faith can be lived in the most trying of circumstances. In the readings from Hebrews, Abraham's faith and obedience are evident even though he died without all the promises being fulfilled. When we wait in faith, preparing to find God in unexpected places, we sometimes wait patiently. Sometimes we wait angrily, sometimes peacefully, sometimes sorrowfully. The recipients of Hebrews were struggling. Life was hard and they needed to be encouraged. But the struggles they faced would not have the last word. There is a story about Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the author, who was interned in a forced labor camp in Siberia. He was starving. He was working 12 hours a day on manual labor outside in extreme temperatures, and he really felt like he couldn't go on. And one day he just stopped working, he just stood still. And a fellow prisoner came up who was a Christian, and without saying anything, with his foot or his tool, he drew a cross in the sand, in the dust. And then he rubbed it out. It would be too dangerous to leave it. And Solzhenitsyn said it reminded him of the hope that he had in Jesus. It didn't change his circumstances. It didn't make things any better in that moment. But it did change his outlook. It enabled him to take another step, to finish that day's work, and the next, and the next. His faith enabled him to keep taking steps in the love and hope that God has provided. That God has provided, not that we need to provide for ourselves. So let's live faithfully, not fearfully. Let's be rooted in God's love so that we can be faithful to his call to all of us. Amen.